ఓం శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరి ఓం. పూర్ణమదః పూర్ణమిదం పూర్ణాత్ పూర్ణముదచ్యతే పూర్ణస్య పూర్ణమాదాయ పూర్ణమేవావశిష్యతే. ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతిః. శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరి ఓం. ఐ హోప్ ఆడియో వీడియో ఇస్ గుడ్. ఓకే. భద్రం కర్ణే విశృణుయామదేవాః భద్రం పశ్యేమాక్షభిర్యజత్రాః స్థిరైరంగైస్తుష్టువాగుంసస్తనూభిః వ్యశేమదేవహితం యదాయుః స్వస్తి న ఇంద్రో వృద్ధశ్రవాః స్వస్తి న పూషా విశ్వవేదాః స్వస్తి నస్తార్క్ష్యో అరిష్టనేమిః స్వస్తి నో బృహస్పతిర్దధాతు. ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతిః. So we saw up to the sixth mantra of Mandukya Upanishad in the last webinar. The Upanishad contains, as we said earlier, 12 mantras. And Gaudapada Acharya has written a karika of 215 shlokas for this Upanishad. Shankaracharya wrote a commentary on all the 12 mantras of the Upanishad and the 215 karikas. As we said earlier, karikas are not commentaries, but they are analysis. So we will study both the Upanishad and the Karikas, and we said earlier also it is divided into four chapters, the Karikas. The first chapter is called Agama Prakarana. It contains the entire Upanishad and the 29 Karikas. Second chapter is called Vaitatya Prakarana, has 38 Karikas and talks about the Mithya nature of the universe. And the third chapter is Advaita Prakarana. It has 48 Karikas on the non-dual nature of Atma. And the fourth chapter is called Alatha Shanti Prakaranam. It has 100 karikas which clears all possible objections or doubts to the teaching contained in the Upanishad. So we saw the first six mantras in the last webinar, where the first mantra, it describes the Omkara Vichara, inquiry about Pranava. And the second mantra, it talked about Atma Vichara, inquiry into the nature of self, oneself, consciousness, Chaitanyam. So the actual inquiry is conducted from the third mantra onwards. So mantras 3 to 7, they deal with Atma Vichara. And mantras 8 to 12, they talk about Omkara Vichara. So introducing the Atma Vichara, the first important message that the Upanishad gives is what? Atma, the self, has four quarters, chadushpad. We can call it four parts, components, facets, aspects, whatever you want to call. So, Omkara Vichara involves inquiry into the four components of Atma. Only when I inquire into the four quarters of Atma, myself, I will know the truth of the entire creation. And what are those four aspects? Shlokas 3 to 7, they give that both from the microcosm and from the macrocosm angles, both at the individual at the total level. So mantra 3 describes the first quarter, namely Vishwa at the individual level and Virat, the total. And mantra 4 describes the second quarter, namely Taijasa and Hiranyagarbha. And mantras 5 and 6 talk about the third quarter, namely Prajna and Ishwara. And we said that mantra 7 describes the fourth quarter, namely the Turiyam. So the Upanishad says that liberation is possible only through the knowledge of the Turiyam, the fourth quarter. So the knowledge of the first three quarters is useful, but cannot give liberation. And Gaudapada Acharya, he introduces his commentary at this point, consolidating the first three quarters. So we saw up to this in the last webinar. Now let us go ahead reading the first karika of Gaudapada Acharya. Atraitasmin yatokterthe yete shlokah bhavanti. So pertaining to this previous discussion, whatever was said earlier, there are these following verses. So first karika we will read. Bahish prajno vibhur vishvaha హ్యంత ప్రజ్ఞస్తు తైజస ఘన ప్రజ్ఞస్త ప్రాజ్ఞ ఏక ఏ త్రిధా స్మృత. So we are going to see actually 9 karikas, and the 7th mantra comes after these 9 karikas. So before we go to the 7th mantra, we will read the 9 karikas. And the content of the 9 karikas is the consolidation of the first 6 mantras in which the 3 quarters of Atma were described. And karika does not comment upon every word of the mantra. That is the difference between a bhashyam and commentary. So bhashyam is it will talk about every mantra, every word, every syllable, every padam. Whereas karika is an analysis, it's a study, it's an observation. So here Gaudapadacharya, he compares and contrasts the 3 quarters in terms of their common and uncommon features. Therefore, he gives some 27 additional information about the 3 quarters taken from the other Upanishads, like the Chandogya Upanishad, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, and all that. We are going to see all of them. So, Bahishpragnyaha Vibhu Vishwaha. Vishwa is the waker who has his awareness turned outwards. Bahishpragnyaha means turned outwards. And that Vishwa himself is Virat from the total angle. So at the individual angle, it's called Vishwa. At the total, it's called Virat. So like the same, for example, if you take the example of a water, the water in the wave and the water in the ocean, both are the same water only. But wave isn't like an individual, and ocean is the total. And antapragnyastu taijasaha. Taijasa means the dreamer, this is a subtle aspect, is the same Atma only, but turned inward. And the same thing in the total is called Hiranyagarbha. And Gana Prajnaha Tata Prajnaha. Prajna is one in whom all the experiences and the knowledge are in a mass of undifferentiated form. Prajnana Ganaha. Ganaha, we call it as a mass of undifferentiated form in the individual. And Ishwara corresponding to the total. So Prajna and Ishwara. And Gaudapadacharya, he uses the word Gana Prajnaha, like the mass of unidentified, undifferentiated consciousness. Eka Eva Trida Smritaha. All these 3 are one and the same Atma only. They are not different from the Atma. The bodies are different. Sense organs are different. Worlds, all the worlds, they are all different. But I, the Chaitanyam, the consciousness, am one and the same Atma. Waker I, dreamer I, sleeper I, they are only 3 different names for one and the same consciousness. Karika 2. Dakshinakshi mukhe vishvaha manasyantastu taijasaha akashe chakriti prajnaha tridhadehe vyavastitaha. Here Gaudapadacharya, he introduces an incidental topic. It is taken from other Upanishads, even though it is not very much required for the purpose of this study. So in the scriptures, before we come to Atma Jnanam or Turiya Jnanam, varieties of sadhanas are prescribed. Essentially for refining the mind, Chitta Shuddhi. And some of the sadhanas are in the form of Karma Yoga or Karma. And some of the sadhanas are in the form of Upasana Yoga, meditation. So varieties of meditations are talked about. Some of them are found in Taittiriya Upanishad. One kind of meditation is meditation upon the essential oneness of the individual microcosm and the total macrocosm. So in all the levels, the essential nature of microcosm and macrocosm are one and the same. So in the example, for example, of the wave and ocean, the essence of both is water. This microcosm, macrocosm, upasana, from the standpoint view of the common factor that is presented here. Similarly, they talk about from the Vishwa Virat oneness. Upasana on the oneness of the Vishwa and Virat. Vishwa consists of the grass body and Virat are the grass prapancha, the entire universe. And what is common to both is their grass nature. Both Taijasa and Hiranyagarbha are again essentially subtle. Since I am the Vishwa, Taijasa and Prajna, I invoke Virat, Hiranyagarbha and Ishwara, that is the total, upon Vishwa, Taijasa and Prajna, the individual respectively. For the sake of this Upasana, the Upanishad talks about various locations in the body for this invocation. Even though the entire person is the waker, but still the Upanishad gives this. It gives a particular location where the waker can be invoked. For example, eyes. Eyes are considered the most prominent sense organ of the waker because they have a large range of operation. According to scriptures, the right eye is considered more sacred. Between the right eye and left eye, right eye considered more sacred. So, Dakshinakshi Mukhe Vishwaha. Vishwa is thus invoked in the right eye. Actually, the Upasana is highlighted in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Actually, the chapter 4th chapter of Brihadaranyaka, section 2. Ata etat vame akshani purusha rupam yeshasya patni virat tayor yesha samstavo ya yeshontarkhridaya akashaha. This is how Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, this mantra comes there. In this Upasana, Vishwa is invoked for Upasana. And manasyantastu taijasaha. The mind, being the prominent part of the subtle body, is used for invoking taijasa. And Brihadaranyaka Upanishad says again, the chapter 2, section 2, that within our heart, there is an inside space into which all our sense powers are resolved, where we are in deep sleep. And akashecha kridi prajnaha. Prajna is invoked in that space. Thrida dehe vyavastitaha. In these three different parts of the body, the three quarters are invoked for meditation. So this is another. What are the three quarters now? The right eye, manas, and in the aka, in the hridayam. Karika 3. Vishwo histula buk nithyam taijasa pravivikta bugham ananda buktata prajnaha tridha bhogam nibhodata. So all these three quarters have three types of experiences. Vishwahi sthula bhuk nityam. Vishwa the waker. He experiences the gross material object of the world, made up of the five elements, regularly, nityam, in every waking state. Praviviktam tu taijasam, the dreamer, what he does, he cannot contact the gross material universe because sense organs are not available during sleep, during dream. You got dream sense organ, but not real sense organs don't function. The tangible material world goes away from the dreamer. The dreamer sees dream mountains, dream rivers, that are thoughts which were in the subconscious mind in the form of vasanas. They are only projected. The vasanas registered in the mind, they come out in dream. So, dream is subtle, vasana-based universe. Dreamer is the experiencer of the subtle thought world. So, the waker and the dreamer, they have pleasurable and painful experiences. But if you take the sleeper, the one who is in deep sleep, he always experiences happiness. Ananda buktata prajnaha. During sleep state, all the koshas, the various annamaya kosha, manomaya kosha, pranamaya kosha, all of them, they accept the vital sheath, namely the pranamaya, because one has to be breathing. All and the anandamaya kosha, except these two, all are resolved. The vital, the prana, that vital sheath, pranamaya kosha, that alone is operating, keeping the body alive. The mental sheath is resolved, manomaya kosha is resolved, with the, all the emotions resolved. The intellectual sheath, the vijnanamaya kosha also is resolved with all types of thoughts, they get resolved during deep sleep. So the causal body, the bliss sheath, the anandamaya kosha is present where everything is resolved. It is an undisturbed condition. We have seen all these in great detail in the second chapter of Taittiriya Upanishad in earlier lectures. So people, please, those who have not attended, please refer to those lectures in our website. When we are in causal body with no disturbances, Atmananda, the original nature of Atma, gets reflected in the calm mind resolved in the causal body. The sleeper is the experiencer of the reflected bliss. In the second chapter of Taittiriya Upanishad, the four important differences between the original and reflected happiness are discussed in the section of Anandamaya Kosha. సో ది ఎక్స్పీరియన్సెస్ ఆర్ త్రీ ఫోల్డ్. తస్య ప్రియమే వశిర మోదో దక్షిణ పక్ష ప్రమోద ఉత్తర పక్ష. సో ప్రియ మోద ప్రమోద దే ఆర్ డిఫరెంట్ త్రీ డిఫరెంట్ టైప్స్ ఆఫ్ త్రీ ఫోల్డ్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్సెస్. ఫోర్త్ కారిక స్థూలం తర్పయతే విశ్వం ప్రవివిక్తం తు తైజసం ఆనందశ్చ తథా ప్రాజ్ఞం త్రిధా తృప్తిం నిబోధత. దిస్ ఈజ్ సిమిలర్ టు ద ప్రీవియస్ శ్లోక ఓన్లీ ఇన్ కంటెంట్ బట్ ప్రెసెంటెడ్ ఇన్ అ స్లైట్లీ డిఫరెంట్ లాంగ్వేజ్. ది గ్రాస్ యూనివర్స్ ఎంటర్టైన్స్ ద వేకర్. ద వీకర్ వేకర్ ఈస్ ఎంటర్టైన్ బై ద గ్రాస్ యూనివర్స్. ద వర్డ్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్ దట్ వాస్ యూస్డ్ ఇన్ ద ప్రీవియస్ శ్లోక అండ్ ది సటిల్ డ్రీమ్ యూనివర్స్ ఎంటర్టైన్స్ ద డ్రీమర్. సో ఇన్స్టెడ్ ఆఫ్ సేయింగ్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్ ది డ్రీమ్ యూనివర్స్ ఎంటర్టైన్స్ ద డ్రీమర్ అండ్ ద వేకింగ్ యూనివర్స్ దట్ ఎంటర్టైన్స్ ద వేకర్ అండ్ ది రిఫ్లెక్టెడ్ హ్యాపీనెస్ ఎంటర్టైన్స్ ది స్లీపర్. సో ఆల్ ఆఫ్ ద ఆనందస్య తథా ప్రాజ్ఞం దట్ ఈస్ ద రిఫ్లెక్టెడ్ హ్యాపీనెస్ దట్ ఎంటర్టైన్స్ ది స్లీపర్ ఇన్ డీప్ స్లీప్. కారిక ఫైవ్ త్రిషు ధామసు యద్ భోజ్యం భోక్తా ప్రకీర్తితః వేదైతదుభయం యస్తు సభుంజానో నలిప్యతే. సో ది ఫాలోయింగ్ శ్లోకాస్ గౌడపాదాచార్య హీ గివ్స్ సమ్ ఎక్స్ట్రా ఇన్ఫర్మేషన్ విచ్ ఇస్ నాట్ యాక్చువలీ ఇన్ ద మంత్రాస్. ఇన్ ఆల్ ద త్రీ స్టేట్స్ త్రిషు ధామసు యద్ భోజ్యం భోక్తా ప్రకీర్తితః దర్ ఇస్ ఎ డిస్టింక్ట్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్సర్ విశ్వ తైజస అండ్ ఆర్ ప్రాజ్ఞ అండ్ డిస్టింక్ట్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్డ్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్స్ వేదైతత్ ఉభయం. ఇఫ్ ఎ పర్సన్ నోస్ ఆల్ దీస్ త్రీ పేర్స్ వెరీ వెల్ అండ్ ద సబ్స్ట్రాటమ్ ఆఫ్ దీస్ త్రీ పేర్స్ ఆల్సో ద తురీయం నేమ్లీ ది ఒరిజినల్ కాన్షియస్నెస్ దెన్ హీ క్లియర్లీ నోస్ హీ క్లియర్లీ గ్రాస్ప్స్ సహా భుంజానో నా లిప్యతే సచ్ అ తురీయ జ్ఞాని. ఎ పర్సన్ హూ ఈస్ ఇన్ దాట్ స్టేట్ తురీయం ఈస్ నెవర్ అఫెక్టెడ్ బై ఎనీ కర్మ ఆర్ ఎనీ కర్మ ఫలం ఈవెన్ వెన్ ద జ్ఞాని ఎక్స్పీరియన్సెస్ ద వరల్డ్ హీ ట్రాన్సాక్ట్స్ ఇన్ ద వరల్డ్ బట్ నన్ ఆఫ్ దీస్ కర్మాస్ వాట్ ఎవర్ హీ డస్ ఇట్ డస్ ఇన్ అఫెక్ట్ హెమ్. సో కృష్ణ రెఫర్స్ టు దిస్ యాక్చువల్లీ ఇన్ ద భగవద్గీత నా దత్తే కశ్యచిత్ పాపం నచైవ సుకృతం విభుః అజ్ఞానేనావృతం జ్ఞానం తేన ముహ్యంతి జంతవః. ఫిఫ్త్ చాప్టర్. So the Atma takes neither the papam nor the punyam of anyone. Discrimination is veiled by ignorance. Hence the beings, they are all deluded. When the ignorance goes away, then person gets Atma jnanam. The jnani is never affected because he understands that whatever is experienced is mithya. Actually, when we first started in the introduction, this is one unique feature in Mandukya. Whatever is experienced is mithya. And that this jnani, the original consciousness, that alone is satyam. Mithya cannot pollute satyam. Like space cannot be wet by water or burnt by fire. Akasha cannot be disturbed by any of them, even though everything happens in Akasha. Fundamental principle of Mandukya Upanishad is what? Observer is satyam and anything observed is mithya. This must be assimilated to get the understanding of the entire Mandukya everywhere. Wherever we go in all the 12 mantras, this is the concept that is going to be underlying. The observer is satyam. And whatever is observed, including one's own body, the entire prapancha, everything, they are all mithya. So, the observer is satyam. And the observed cannot be proved. Whatever is observed cannot prove its existence without the observer. They all have only dependent existence. This is the unique principle in Mandukya. In all other Upanishads, the principle is what? It is different. There, the cause is satyam, is cause. There is a cause and effect analysis in all of them. All effects are mithya. The cause alone is satyam. We already saw all the causes. The upadana karanam, nimitta karanam, all that we are familiar. And karyam, the entire prapancha, the universe, the body, they are all karyam, effect, mithya. The observer alone is turiyam, satyam. Karika 6. Prabhava sarva bhavanam sathamiti vinischayaha sarvam janayati pranaha chetomshun purusha prutakem. ప్రభవః సర్వభావానాం సతామితి వినిశ్చయః. ఇట్స్ అన్ ఎస్టాబ్లిష్డ్ ఫ్యాక్ట్, వినిశ్చయః ఎస్టాబ్లిష్డ్ ఫ్యాక్ట్ దట్ ఆరిజినేషన్ ఈస్ ఓన్లీ ఫార్ దోస్ బీయింగ్ విచ్ ఆర్ ఆల్ దోస్ బీయింగ్స్ విచ్ ఆర్ ఎగ్జిస్టెంట్ ఫార్ దమ్ అలోన్ దర్ ఇస్ అన్ ఆరిజినేషన్. సర్వం జనయతి ప్రాణః, ప్రాణ క్రియేట్స్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్. అండ్ చేతోంశున్ పురుష పృథక్, పురుష కాన్షియస్నెస్, కాన్షియస్ బీయింగ్స్ దే క్రియేట్ కాన్షియస్ బీయింగ్స్ డిస్టింక్ట్లీ పురుష. సో ఇన్ దిస్ శ్లోక గౌడపదాచార్య హీ మెన్షన్స్ ద టాపిక్ ఆఫ్ క్రియేషన్ బ్రీఫ్లీ, యాక్చువల్లీ దట్ బి ఎలాబరేటెడ్ ఇన్ ది థర్డ్ చాప్టర్ ఆఫ్ ది కారిక. వీ విల్ సీ ఇట్ ఇన్ డీటెయిల్ అట్ దట్ టైమ్, బట్ హియర్ ఇట్ జస్ట్ ఓన్లీ మెన్షన్. క్రియేషన్ ఆర్ కాస్మాలజీ ఈస్ అ బిగ్ టాపిక్ ఇన్ ఫిలాసఫీ ఆర్ ఇన్ సైన్స్ బోత్. గౌడపదాచార్య హీ ఈస్ హింటింగ్ అట్ ద టాపిక్ టేకెన్ ఫ్రమ్ ది సిక్స్త్ మంత్ర ఆఫ్ మాండుక్య ఇన్ ది లాస్ట్ వెబినార్. ఇన్ దట్ మంత్ర ద థర్డ్ క్వార్టర్ వాస్ టాక్డ్ అబౌట్ దట్ ఈస్ ది ప్రాజ్ఞాన్ ఈశ్వర విచ్ ఇస్ ఆత్మా అసోసియేట్ విత్ ద కాసల్ బాడీ అండ్ ద కాసల్ యూనివర్స్. కాసల్ బాడీ అండ్ కాసల్ యూనివర్స్ బోత్ అన్మానిఫెస్ట్ కండిషన్. సో ఇన్ స్లీప్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఈస్ ఇన్ రిసాల్వ్డ్ కండిషన్. డ్యూరింగ్ స్లీప్ ఈవెన్ దో వీ ఆర్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్సింగ్ బ్లాంక్నెస్, స్లీప్ ఈస్ నాట్ బ్లాంక్నెస్. ఈవెన్ దో వీ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్ బ్లాంక్నెస్ డ్యూరింగ్ స్లీప్, స్లీప్ ఇట్ సెల్ఫ్ ఇస్ నాట్ బ్లాంక్నెస్. మాండుక్య ఉపనిషత్ సేస్ దట్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఈస్ ఇన్ పొటెన్షియల్ కండిషన్ ఇన్ స్లీప్. ఫ్రమ్ దట్ పొటెన్షియల్ కండిషన్ అలోన్ అవర్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్ ఇన్ డ్రీమ్ అండ్ వేకింగ్ స్టేట్స్ దే అరైజ్. దర్ఫోర్ వీ ఆర్ మేకింగ్ అన్ ఇంపార్టెంట్ కన్క్లూషన్ దట్ ఇఫ్ యూ హ్యావ్ టు క్రియేట్ ఎనీథింగ్ దట్ ప్రోడక్ట్ మస్ట్ ఎగ్జిస్ట్ ఇన్ పొటెన్షియల్ ఫామ్. దిస్ ఈస్ అ వెరీ ఇంపార్టెంట్ వేదాంతిక్ ప్రిన్సిపల్. ఇఫ్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ అ లంప్ ఆఫ్ క్లే వీ ఆర్ ఏబుల్ టు క్రియేట్ అ వెరైటీ ఆఫ్ ఎర్దన్ వార్ పార్ట్స్ అండ్ ఆల్, ఆల్ దోస్ ప్రోడక్ట్స్, ఆల్ దోస్ ఫార్మ్స్ దే హ్యావ్ టు బీ ఇన్ ద క్లే ఇన్ పొటెన్షియల్ ఫామ్. సో క్రియేషన్ ఆల్వేస్ ఎగ్జిస్ట్ విచ్ మీన్స్ దెర్ ఇస్ నో క్రియేషన్ అట్ ఆల్, నో న్యూ క్రియేషన్ అట్ ఆల్. క్రియేషన్ ఈస్ అ మిస్ నార్మర్ బికాస్ మ్యాటర్ కెనాట్ బి క్రియేటెడ్ ఆర్ డిస్ట్రాయిడ్. వాట్ ఈస్ ఇన్ అన్మానిఫెస్ట్ ఫామ్ కమ్స్ ఇన్ టు మేనిఫెస్టేషన్ విచ్ ఇస్ రాంగ్లీ కాల్డ్ యాజ్ క్రియేషన్. ఫర్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్ వెన్ యూ టేక్ బటర్, బటర్ ఇస్ మేడ్ ఫ్రమ్ మిల్క్, ఇట్ ఈస్ ఓన్లీ ది అన్మానిఫెస్ట్ బటర్ ఇన్ మిల్క్ దాట్ కమ్స్ అవుట్ యాజ్ బటర్. ఇఫ్ బటర్ కెన్ బి న్యూలీ క్రియేటెడ్ ఇట్ కెన్ బి డన్ ఫ్రమ్ ఎనీథింగ్. బటర్ కెనాట్ బి క్రియేటెడ్ ఫ్రమ్ వాటర్ బికాస్ వాటర్ డస్ నాట్ కంటైన్ బటర్ ఇన్ పొటెన్షియల్ ఫామ్. బటర్ కమ్స్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ మిల్క్ బికాస్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ఇన్ మిల్క్ ఇన్ పొటెన్షియల్ ఫామ్. దట్ ఈస్ హౌ బటర్ కమ్స్ అవుట్ ఫ్రమ్ మిల్క్ అలోన్. దిస్ ప్రిన్సిపల్ ఇస్ కాల్డ్ సత్కార్యవాద. ఎఫెక్ట్ ప్రీ ఎగ్జిస్టెంట్ ఇన్ ది కాస్, ఆల్ ది ఎఫెక్ట్స్ దే ప్రీ ఎగ్జిస్ట్ ఇన్ ది కాస్. దిస్ ఈస్ ఎ వెరీ ఇంపార్టెంట్ వేదాంతిక్ డాక్ట్రిన్. ఇట్ సేస్ దట్ యూ నెవర్ క్రియేట్ ఎనీథింగ్ న్యూ, యూ ఓన్లీ కన్వర్ట్ అన్మానిఫెస్ట్ ఇన్ టు మేనిఫెస్ట్ ఇన్ ద థర్డ్ క్వార్టర్ విచ్ ఇస్ ద డీప్ స్లీప్ స్టేట్ ఆఫ్ ది ఇండివిజువల్ దట్స్ కాల్డ్ ద లయ. సో వెన్ యూ టేక్ ద డీప్ స్లీప్ స్టేట్ ఆఫ్ అన్ ఇండివిజువల్ ఇట్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ ద లయ. అండ్ ద సేమ్ డీప్ స్లీప్ స్టేట్ ఆఫ్ ద టోటల్ కాస్మిక్ మేకప్ ద ప్రపంచ దట్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ ప్రళయ. ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఈస్ ఇన్ పొటెన్షియల్ కండిషన్. ద హోల్ ఫైవ్ ఎలిమెంట్స్ దే ఆర్ ఆల్సో ఇన్ పొటెన్షియల్ కండిషన్. దట్ పొటెన్షియల్ ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ ద మెటీరియల్ క్రియేషన్ దట్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ మాయా, కాల్డ్ ప్రకృతి, కాల్డ్ మూల విద్య, అవ్యక్తం, అవ్యాకృతం, శక్తి. మాయా ఇస్ ద వర్డ్ దట్ వీఆర్ గోయింగ్ టు యూస్ హియర్ ఇన్ మాండుక్య, బట్ ఆల్ దిస్ నేమ్ దే ఆర్ ఆల్ సినానిమస్. సో డ్యూరింగ్ లయ అండ్ ప్రళయ ద హోల్ యూనివర్స్ ఈస్ ఇన్ మాయా ద సీడ్ ఫార్మ్ అలాంగ్ విత్ కాన్షియస్నెస్ కాల్డ్ తురీయం, బ్రహ్మన్, ఆత్మ, ఆల్ దాట్. సో ఆత్మా ప్లస్ మాయా ఈస్ ఈక్వల్ టు ద థర్డ్ క్వార్టర్ ప్రాజ్ఞ ఈశ్వర. ఇఫ్ యూ రిమెంబర్ విశ్వ విరాట్ ఇస్ ద ఫస్ట్ క్వార్టర్, తైజస హిరణ్య గర్భ సెకండ్, ప్రాజ్ఞ ఈశ్వర థర్డ్ క్వార్టర్. సో ఇన్ దట్ ప్రాజ్ఞ ఈశ్వర ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఈస్ ఇన్ సీడ్ ఫార్మ్ ఇన్ పొటెన్షియల్ ఫార్మ్. ఎవ్రీ స్టేట్ ఆఫ్ స్లీప్ ఈస్ ఫాలోడ్ బై ఎ వేకింగ్ అప్. వెన్ యూ వేక్ అప్ ఇన్ ది కరెంట్ బాడీ ఇట్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ వేకింగ్ అప్, అండ్ ఇఫ్ యూ వేకప్ ఇన్ సమ్ అదర్ బాడీ ఇట్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ రీబర్త్. వెన్ యూ వేకప్ ఇన్ ద కరెంట్ బాడీ ఇట్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ వేకింగ్ అప్. wake up in some other body, it is called rebirth. Manifestation follows every dissolution. At the time of manifestation, everything dormant rises back. What happens to consciousness? Consciousness does not and cannot do anything. It cannot undergo any change. Akarta, abhokta, all that we have seen. When the body, mind complex, they are all manifested, consciousness lends reflected consciousness to the body, mind complex. So these are all very familiar to us. I'm just only saying that in perspective with respect to this karika. So as many minds are there, so many reflected consciousness are there. Gaudiya Padacharya says, objects that exist in potential form in the Prajna Ishvara referred to in the sixth mantra, they become the manifest world. Whatever was manifest in that in potential form, that becomes the manifest world. Unmanifest world is as good as non-existent because it is not usable. Now, which part of Ishvara contributes to the inert universe and which part contributes to the sentient universe? That question will come. In the sixth karika, in the phrase, prana sarvam janayati. So, prana refers to the causal universe. Prana is actually a loaded technical word here. Elsewhere in scriptures, causal body is called prana. It is a rare contextual word. The prana, we normally refer to prana, pranamaya kosha and all. The causal body is called prana in some other places. And why this confusing expression then? During our sleep, we are in our causal body. Everything has resolved in the deep sleep except what? The prana shakti, which functions despite any effort on the individual's part. In the deep sleep state, we are in the better it functions, otherwise it's a problem. So in the deep sleep state, we are in the causal body with prana functioning. And the word prana is used for the causal body. That is the reason. So at the total level, prana is the causal universe. And in this karika, prana is the causal universe, the maya principle. So this insentient component of Ishvara projects the entire material universe. Whereas Purusha, the conscious principle, creates the sentient jivas. And reflected consciousness comes. All that we have to understand. So the mind of every jiva forms the reflection of the original consciousness, just like a mirror forming the reflection of the face. So the original consciousness generates an innumerable number of reflected consciousness, like one sun forming many reflections when there are many reflecting media, many mirrors. So the jivas with reflected consciousness are living beings, and the material universe is the object of experience. Karika 7. Vibhutim prasavam tvanye manyante srishti chintakaha swapnamaya swarupeti srishtirantair vikalpita. So this topic of creation is a highly debated topic that we all know in all systems of philosophy, theology, in so many atheistic systems, science, always there is a debate. And Gaudiya Padacharya says that varieties of theories are held by varieties of people, including the Vedas, the Puranas, and they all, and he enumerates some of them here. Hundreds of questions about creation and life, they come up in the minds of people, in people's lives, and so many people. Vibhutim prasavam tvanye manyante srishti chintakaha. Some debaters, some of the people of creation, srishti chintakaha, some debaters of creation, they point out, they think, manyante, that the creation is the glory of the Lord, vibhuti. Vibhutim prasavam. So it is supposed to be the glory of the Lord himself. Actually, if you take the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Vibhuti Yoga, it's a description of creation as Lord's glory. And swapna maya sarupeti srishtihi. Some other creation thinkers, people who think about creation, they visualize creation is like the dream of God. Swapna maya, Lord's dream is our waking state. Lord is dreaming. That is our waking state. Anyaihi vikalpitaha. Other types of thinkers, they view the entire creation like a magic show. Mayaviva Vijirumbayatyapi Mahayogiva Yasvechaya. That's what in Dakshinamurti Stotram we saw also. So Gaudavada Acharya only presents all these versions and does not say what is right or what is wrong. He just only enumerates them. In Vedanta itself, all these versions are presented in various places according to context. Karika 8. Iccha matram prabho srishtihi iti srishtau vinischitaham kalat prasutim bhutanam manyante kala chintakaha. So other types of thinkers now. So iccha matram prabho srishtihi. Some other people, they point out that the creation is the will of God. Iccha matram. Lord was alone present in the beginning. And creation came out of his own will. They contend that this version should not be questioned. They are so firm about it. Vinishchitaha. Kalat prasutim bhutanam. Manyante kalachintakaha. Some others. And they say that the Lord is not responsible for creation. But it is all because of kalam, time. Kalat prasutim bhutanam. Time is responsible for the arrival of creation. That is why some people they think. All these kalachintakaha, they are all astrologers. They always base everything on time. So they hold this kind of view. Ninth karika. Bhokartam srishti rityanyem krida kridartamiti chaparem devasya isha svabhavoyam aptakamasya kaspruham. So these are all other people. They hold that the view that the Bhagavan created the world out of his will only, and when asked the purpose of Bhagavan in producing this world, they say Bhagavan created this world and beings for his own entertainment. He was bored perhaps, bhogartham, for his own entertainment he created this entire universe. And some other people they say that the creation is the sport of the Lord, kridartham, it's all his sport, he wanted to play. And Vedanta itself gives all these answers at different times. But all these answers are only temporary answers. When one probes into these versions of creation, they will lead to more and more questions. And any answer regarding creation will lead only to mystery about the creation. Just the level of mystery only will shift. Take the Lord dreaming up this universe, similar to us dreaming our dreams. But in our case, the dreams are based on the registered impressions of the experiences we have had in the waking state. Every dream presupposes a waking state. That will not apply to Bhagavan. Similarly, karma and janma, they cannot apply to Lord. So Gaudapada says that any theory of creation will generate a lot of problems. And using the word creation regarding the universe will never give an intellectually satisfying answer. Gaudapada's stand is that there was no creation at all, new creation at all. Everything existed in potential form. So the world did not arrive. If it arrived, why did it arrive? The world has always been there in Brahman, either in unmanifest or in manifest form. The world was never created. Nor did it arrive, but has always been there as name and form in unmanifest or manifest form. Mithya name and form is an integral part of Brahman. Gaudapada uses the expression swabhava, meaning integral, non-separable part to refer to the universe. The universe has no beginning or end. Referring to this, Krishna says in the 15th chapter again, Na rupamasyeha tato palabhyate nanto na chadirna cha sampratishta. 15th chapter. Its form as such is not perceived here. It has no middle, no beginning, no middle, no end. So the universe, drop the creation. Drop the word creation and you will get out of confusion. So the moment we think along the terms of creation, then we get confusion. This may lead to another question also, even though it is not discussed in the Karika. If Mithya name and form, that universe is an integral part of Brahman, does it not contradict our original assertion that Brahman does not have any parts at all? You know, that is the pretext. Brahman doesn't have any part. It is one whole. Then if Mithya, name and form is an integral part, does it contradict or not? The answer is, Mithya part being Mithya is as good as not a part. What is Mithya cannot be countered. It is experienced, but it cannot be countered. Like the shadow of the body, which is inseparable from the body. Shadow will have all the features of the body, but cannot be counted as a second entity. The real explanation of creation is that there is no creation at all. With this Karika, Gaudapathacharya, his analysis of the first six mantras of the Upanishad is over. Now we enter into the crucial question, how can Brahman have a desire to create a world? This cannot be answered, and any answer will lead to more confusion only. Lot of further questions and confusion. So Lord does not have a desire to create the world. But in Taittiriya Upanishad, a temporary description of Lord having a desire to create was given. But it is not a real description. So kamayata bahusyam prajayeti. So kamayata. So the Lord desired. So the real explanation of creation is that there is no creation. With this Karika, Gaudapada's analysis is over of the first six mantras, and now we will enter into the seventh crucial mantra of the Upanishad that we will read. Mantra 7. Nanta pragyam na bahish pragyam no bhayata pragyam na pragyanaghanam na pragyam na pragyam adrishtam avyavaharyam agrahyam alakshanam achintyam avyapateshyam ekatma pratyayasaram prapanchopashamam shantam shivam advaitam chaturtam manyante sa atma sa vigyayaha. Extremely important, very loaded mantra. Chaturtam manyante, they consider the fourth, the turiyam, the fourth state, the fourth quarter that we saw earlier, the turiyam, to be nanta pragyam, na bahish pragyam, no bhayata pragyam. Pragyam means here, na anta pragyam, it is not consciousness of the internal world. It is not the concern of the external world, bahish pragyam, or both. It is not. Na pragyana ghanam, it is not a mass of consciousness also. Na pragyam, na apragyam, it is not consciousness, nor unconsciousness. Which is adrishtam, which is unseen, avyavaharyam, beyond empirical, all kinds of vyavaharas, empirical dealings, agrahyam, beyond the grasp, by the organs of action, all karmendriyas, alakshanam, uninferable, it cannot be inferred, achintyam, cannot be thought, beyond mind it is, avyapadeshyam, indescribable, ekatma pratyaya saram, whose proof consists in the single belief in the self, in which prapanchopashamam, all phenomena, they cease to exist, and which is shantam, unchanging, free from all emotions like love, anger, all of them. Shivam, it's mangalam. Advaitam, non-dual. Sa atma, sa vigyayaha. That is the self, sa atma. And that is to be known. That is to be vigyayaha, to be known. So mantra 7 is the definition of turiyam, the atma. Each description is very profound, worth meditating for weeks, for some people even for a lifetime. So Gaudapathacharya, he will extensively elaborate on this mantra in the later chapters. Actually, we are now coming to the essence of this entire Mandukya. My association with the three states gives rise to the three quarters, Vishwa, Taijasa and Pragya. They are all relational statuses, Vishwa in the waking state, Taijasa dream state and Pragya in the deep sleep state. Consciousness from its own standpoint is dissociated from the three states, that is called Turiyam. It is called the fourth non-relational status. How can consciousness dissociate from the worlds of the waker, dreamer and sleeper? Can consciousness dissociate at all? If it can, how can it? Superficially speaking, consciousness can never physically separate itself from the three worlds. Why? Consciousness, being all-pervading, can never get away from anything. Everywhere it is there. Two finite entities have association and dissociation. For an all-pervading entity, it is not possible. Space cannot dissociate from anything. Consciousness cannot physically dissociate from any object. Can consciousness experientially dissociate from the external world? Superficially speaking, consciousness can experientially dissociate just like we experience in deep sleep state. In deep sleep, we withdraw from external world. Our body, mind and thoughts, we withdraw from all of them. So in the deep sleep state, we are able to experientially dissociate. Similarly, in nirvikalpa samadhi, these are all words I assume we are familiar. We have already talked about long ago. Savikalpa samadhi and nirvikalpa samadhi. A meditator dissociates from the world and thoughts. But there are two problems. Even though I experientially dissociate, it is not an actual dissociation because everything is potentially present. Actually, it only appears to be dissociation because the body, mind, etc. are in potential form, and so this dissociation is only temporary. Once the sleep or samadhi is over, the association comes back. So, experiential dissociation is not possible for Turiyam, even though seemingly there is dissociation. Can consciousness dissociate from the world to become Turiyam? It is not possible physically or experientially also. Vedanta says that it is possible in some other way. The jnani is accomplishing that alone. And what is that? That method is pure knowledge or understanding. That alone can enable that. Dissociation can be brought about through sheer understanding. And what type of understanding it is? That understanding is that I am the observer and the world is observed. In Mandukya Upanishad, the observer and the observed are given special status. I, the observer, am Satyam. And everything that is observed or experienced, namely the body and the world, in all the three states, whether it is Jagrat Avastha, Swapna Avastha, Sushupti Avastha, they are all Mithya. I, the consciousness, am Satyam. And the world is Mithya. Can Satyam and Mithya be associated? They can be together, but Mithya can never touch Satyam. Even though it is very much on Satyam. It depends on Satyam. Movie can never affect the screen. Only a seeming connection between Satyam and Mithya alone exists. Once it is understood that the association is a seeming one, it becomes clear that I, the Turiyam, am only seemingly Vishwa, Taijasa and Prajna, but not associated with any of them. These are all very, very important concepts. I am not associated with any of these quarters. After knowledge, I know that I have always been Turiyam, but only playing the roles of Vishwa, Taijasa and Prajna. When I say all that Vishwa, Taijasa, Prajna, we should immediately know in the three avasthas, Jagrat, Swapna and Sushupti, both in the microcosm and macrocosm level. Even while playing the roles, when I am playing those roles, I am Turiyam only, because the roles never touch me anytime. Actually, Sureshwaracharya, he gives an example in his Naishkarma Siddhi to illustrate this point. Imagine water in a transparent glass bowl. You have a glass bowl, transparent bowl. There is water. There is a straight rod potentially dipped in water, put a rod. When the rod comes in association with water, the rod under the water appears to be bent. How do you straighten that rod? Not by taking it out. Actually, the rod need not be straightened. It was never bent at all. Thus, experiencing the bent rod, I can declare that the rod is straight by the knowledge that the seeming bend is not a real bend at all. Similarly, consciousness is Turiyam all the time. During the three states, the roles are only appearances. Becoming Turiyam is by understanding that I am always Turiyam. Becoming Turiyam is by understanding. With the knowledge that I am always Turiyam, not associated with any of my roles in the three states, I can enjoy playing the roles. And what is the nature of that Turiyam? Not an experiencer. Consciousness is seemingly Vishwa or Virat, third mantra. Or Taijasa or Hiranyagarbha, fourth mantra. Prajna or Ishwara, fifth and sixth mantras. But it is actually not any of these. It is not any of the intermediary states also. Normally, there are only three states, waking, dreaming and sleep. But there are certain extraordinary states of experiences in which mind cannot be said to be in waking or dreaming states, but in some intermediary states. It can happen just before a person goes to sleep, or in the early morning, during which time you can experience extraordinary things like premonitions, all kinds of things. One can experience hallucinations, ESP, all that, or engage in controlled yogic experiences. Turiyam is not any of those intermediary experiences also. It is not simultaneous experience of the three states. This is the first part of the definition. If Turiyam is not the experiencer of anything, is it inert then? It is not inert, but it is consciousness without any association with any object. It is not consciousness of something, but it is consciousness by itself. Objectless consciousness, not an object of experience. It is not perceived by the eyes and the other sense organs or organs of knowledge. Hand and other organs of action cannot handle Turiyatma. Therefore, it is beyond all transaction. It is a transcendental reality. I am not the waker. I am not the dreamer. I am not the sleeper. Even when I appear as all of these. I have three appearances, but I am always Turiyam. I am different from the waker, dreamer and sleeper. I am the consciousness principle that seems to have the statuses of the waker, dreamer and sleeper. This is the final part of the description. Now the second part of the description is that Turiyam is not any object available in any one of the three states. So don't search for Turiyam in any one of the three states as an object. It is not an object of knowledge. Neither can you see it outside or inside. It is not available for organs of action. It is not available for jnana or karma transactions. Beyond inference, there is nothing else other than Turiyam, and so it cannot be inferred. Beyond thoughts, it is not available for sensory objectification. Or mental objectification. Yatova chonivattante aprahapya manasasaha. No one can claim that he or she has experienced Turiyam. It does not have any color or form. Beyond description it is. It cannot be described by words. Anirvachaniyam it is. It is indescribable. Words can function in only five areas of description. Those five areas are what? It should be a specific substance, for example, a mango tree. It should be any generic substance, for example, a tree. Tree is generic, mango tree is specific. Or any property, color, form, all that. Or varieties of activities. And relationships, father, son, wife, all that. So any word in any language functions in only these five areas. Specific substance, generic substance, property, varieties of activities and relationships. Turiyam does not fall into any of these five areas. Specifically, there is no second thing of the same order of reality as Turiyam. And so it cannot have any relationship at all. Turiyam cannot be described in words. Free from the world, Turiyam is free from all the three universes and the three bodies. The Upanishad is negating this world itself. Completely it negates the world. How can the Upanishad negate this world when we are experiencing this world solidly? It can negate this world only again under one condition. What is experienced can be negated only if what is experienced is not factual. Blue sky and blue waters of the ocean, they are all examples. Turiyam is free from the world because the world is mithya. Therefore, Turiyam is Advaitam. When there is no second real thing other than Turiyam, every second thing is mithya and therefore is as good as not there. So, Turiyam is non-dual. In the shloka, we said Advaitam. So, Turiyam is called the fourth quarter only figuratively. But really, in reality, it is not the fourth quarter, but the only, not even quarter available, only thing available, only Vastu. Vishwa, Taijasa and Pragya are simply names. Turiyam alone is the reality. It is like saying gold, ring, bangle and chain. Even though you count four, gold, ring, bangle, chain, on inquiry we find one gold only and three names for the same gold, namely ring, bangle and chain. Only one Turiyam is present and three names for that Turiyam are given. Therefore, Turiyam is tranquil, even undisturbed, because Mithya universe cannot disturb the Satya Turiyam. One Mithya object can disturb another Mithya object. A dog, for example, can bite the human body in the waking state. A dream dog can bite the dream body in the dream state. Pain will be felt in both situations, in the dream and waking state also. My body, with the same order of reality as the universe, will be disturbed by it. However, the entire universe can never disturb me, the Turiyam, the Atma. So, Turiyam is ever Shantam, it is tranquil. Therefore, Turiyam is Shivam, it is free from any sorrow, it is Mangalam. So, this Turiyam alone is the real I, the Atma. And the other three are roles that I play in life. Life is a play, but it can get serious if I forget that it is only a play. This fact should be remembered. If life appears to be meaningless, a meaningless, burdensome, boring struggle, life has become samsara. Life becomes samsara when I do not understand my higher nature. And if I do not remember the fifth capsule of Vedanta, by forgetting my real nature, I convert life into a burden. By remembering my real nature, I convert life into a blessing, wherein I can claim my higher glory. This is very important. By forgetting my real nature, I convert life into a burden. By remembering my real nature, I convert life into a blessing, wherein I can claim my higher glory. Make your life beautiful by knowing that you are Turiyam. Advaitam, indicating that Turiyam alone is worth counting. And Turiyam alone is Satyam, one without a second. Advaitam. One full chapter, chapter 3, Advaita Prakaranam, with 48 shlokas, is dedicated to the commentary on Advaitam. We are going to see later. Prapanchopashamam, that is the next word. Indirectly, it reveals the mithya nature of the universe. Mithya is whatever is experientially existent, but factually non-existent. These definitions should be all clear all the time. What is experientially existent, but factually is not existent? Examples are mirage water, blue sky, blue waters of the ocean, sunrise, and bent rod in a glass of water, all that. Gaudapada dedicates one full chapter, the second chapter, consisting of 38 shlokas, as a commentary on this one word, prapanchopashamam. That is why Karika is important. In the second chapter, Gaudapada establishes the mithya nature of this universe by taking the example of dream. The dream is experientially existent, but is factually not there. In comparison with the dream, Gaudapada establishes that this world is also like another type of dream only. Ekatma pratyaya saram is significant because it gives us the methodology to comprehend Turiyam. Turiyam will have to be comprehended in a unique manner because it is not available for regular means of knowledge. Turiya Atma is not available for regular means of knowledge. Turiyam is not an object of knowledge, but it is the very you, the very substratum I, who wants to know. So it cannot be observed externally or internally in deep meditation. To understand Turiyam, a clue, Eka Atma Pratyaya Saram is given. Atma Pratyaya means self-knowledge or the awareness, I awareness, self, awareness of self. Whenever you say, I am, you are aware of yourself. This self-awareness, I am, you are, he is, the are, the is, the am. Whenever you say, I am, that is called Atma Pratyaya. Pratyaya means awareness. So, Eka. Eka means it is here continuous. So, Ekatma Pratyaya means continuous self-awareness all the time. Like the Sthayi Bhava. It is there at the back of the mind all the time. I am, I am, I am. Aham. This continuous self-awareness is the Saram. As the indicator or pointer. We have to capture the Turiyam by holding on to this self-awareness. Normally when I say I am in the waking state, I am available as a waker. Imagine, in the waking state I say, I slept well last night and I dreamt in between and now I am a waker. I say, I slept, I dreamt, and now I am awake. Indicating that the sleeper, dreamer and waker are not separate entities, but all these are one and the same person. I do not say that somebody slept, someone else dreamt. I say, I slept, I dreamt and I am awake. This is called pratyabhijna. That meaning the recognition of all the three as one and the same. This pratyabhijna is a very important clue for self-knowledge. In the sixth shloka of the Dakshinamurti Stotram, the phrase pratyabhijnayate, that occurs. When I equate waker to dreamer, we have seen that also earlier. When I equate waker to dreamer and sleeper, superficially seeing, this statement is wrong because waker can never be dreamer. And dreamer can never be the sleeper. These three are mutually exclusive and they have one condition. When I am equating an elderly person with grey hair with my classmate 60 years ago and say that this man is that man, I am temporarily forgetting the contradictory adjectives. In spite of the superficial contradictions, we are deliberately, clearly and instinctively, we equate them. Which is possible only when there are contradictory features and understanding that behind the contradictory features, the person is one and the same. This always happens. Only under contradictory feature and understanding. So the features are wildly different. But my understanding is that behind those features, the person is essentially one and the same. At the time of equation, I am dropping the adjectives. At the time of pratyabhijna, the contradictory features are renounced intellectually. Similarly, when I say I slept, I dreamt and I am awake, I am equating all the three I's with I myself. Soham, in that sahaham, in that recognition. All the contradictory features, waker status, dreamer status, sleeper status, they are unknowingly, instinctively dropped. Since I am instinctively dropping all the three statuses, I am neither Vishwa, nor Tejasa, nor Pragya. We should relate all of them here and back and forth. During that fleeting moment, since I am instinctively dropping all of them, I am remaining as awareness principle without these three statuses. During that fleeting moment, unknowingly and instinctively, I am referring to myself as the conscious principle, consciousness principle without these three statuses. So, I am Turiyam at that time without knowing that I am Turiyam. At that time, I am very close to the teaching of the Upanishad. Once I understand that I am the consciousness principle and that these three statuses are not mine, when I know that, then the teaching of the Upanishad will help me reinforce. How does the Upanishad does that? Really speaking, the waker, the dreamer and sleeper, they are not the statuses of me, the conscious principle. These three statuses belonging to the mind alone and not I, the conscious principle. How? When the mind is extrovert, that condition is called the waking state. When the mind is not extrovert, but is turned inward towards its own memories, vasanas, it is called the dreamer mind. It can happen in the night or daytime, even during the class. And the resolved mind, when it is neither extrovert nor introvert, is in the sleeper status. So the Upanishad says that these three statuses belong to the mind. But who am I? I am the witness who reveals the extrovert mind and the introvert mind. I am also aware of the passive mind in sleep also, because after waking up, I say that I did not know anything. I reveal that non-knowing status of the mind. I am ever free from the waker, dreamer and sleeper status, I. Therefore, I am Vishwa, Taijasa, Prajna, Vilakshanaha. I am Turiyam always, all the time. I need not go to Nirvikalpa Samadhi to know this. I should learn to claim here and now that the three statuses belong to the mind and I am Turiyam. For that, Eka Atma Pratyaya is useful. This is the seventh mantra. Gaudapada will say more. Actually, I am just done. Maybe I'll take a couple of minutes. One or two minutes. So, Gaudapada Acharya will say more about this mantra later. With the seventh mantra, the Upanishad completes the description of the fourth quarter of Atma and the Atma Vichara. Now, Gaudapada brings his commentary on the fourth quarter. So, review of Ekatma Pratyaya Saram, traceable through the unbroken self-awareness. This is a technical and a very, very profound word. What is the method that I should use to understand that I am Turiyam? I am always associated with one of the three states. I am either waker or dreamer or sleeper. Even though I continuously shift through these three, I do not look upon these three as three different entities. I never say that there was a dreamer I and now there is a waker I, etc. I say that I was sleeping, I had a good dream or bad dream, and now I am awake. This means that I am seeing the waker I, the dreamer I, and the sleeper I as one constantly continuing I. Now that the waker I comes and goes, and the dreamer I comes and goes, it is one constant non-variable I. That means that in our vision, the waker I equal to dreamer I, equal to sleeper I, because we understand that the I is continuous. This is technically called Pratyabhijna, recognizing all the three eyes as one and the same. That is why I say that I slept, I dreamt, and I am awake. The question is, when I equate waker eye, dreamer eye, and sleeper eye, what is happening in my understanding? This is a very subtle point. Superficially speaking, the equation is wrong because the dreamer can never be the waker, and the waker can never be the dreamer. Waker and dreamer being mutually exclusive adjectives, they can never be equal. But we are still seeing them as one and the same. How are we doing this? Whenever we are equating the waker I and dreamer I, we are temporarily keeping aside the different adjectives. That is Bhagatyaga Lakshana. We have seen this earlier in previous Upanishads. We are keeping aside the two different statuses. If the statuses are retained, the two states cannot be equated. The fact that we are equating indicates that we are temporarily separating the different statuses and referring to consciousness, which is free from waker and dreamer statuses. When you are equating a younger person who had a black hair with a person who we already said that. Whenever we are equating the dreamer and the sleeper and the waker, we are giving up different statuses and referring to Turiya. When I say I dreamt and now I am awake, the dreamer I am now the waker I, and the word I is referring to Turiyam. So the Pratyabhijna is important. The recognition of the waker I, dreamer I and sleeper I as one and the same is an indication for the Turiyam persisting in all the three states. So the Upanishad uses the word Ekatma Pratyaya, one common self-awareness equating these three. This self-awareness reveals the Turiyam, which is free from all three statuses. Therefore, through that saram, the trail of the common eye, the Turiyam can be recognized. And this Turiyam has to be known for liberation. So we will stop here. Yo vedadau swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitaha tasya prakritilinasya parasamaheshwaraha. Sri Krishna, Namaste, Narayana.